US authorities have resumed their operation in our sites in order to attempt to fight counterfeit and piracy-related websites. During the second annual Cyber Monday crackdown, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement has shut down 150 websites from all over the world. The recent introduction of draft bills, such as the Stop Online Piracy Act and Protect IP Act, now aims at providing a legal basis for domain names and IP address seizures. The Piracy Act's broad definitions could indeed mean that no online resource in the global internet would be outside US jurisdiction. In response to these legislative proposals and repeated unilateral measures against European websites, the European Parliament adopted a resolution on 17th November 2011 in preparation of the EU-US summit, stressing the need to protect the integrity of the global internet and freedom of communication by refraining from unilateral measures to revoke IP addresses or domain names. The joint EU-US summit declaration published on 28th November 2011 indeed says, "We share a commitment to a single global internet and will resist unilateral efforts to weaken the security, reliability, or independence of its operations." However, despite the big show of opposition to the US bills and the Parliament's actions, internet filtering and blocking schemes like the Piracy Act and IP Act are still on the agenda on the other side of the Atlantic, claiming worldwide jurisdiction for domain names and IP addresses. According to recent reports, attempts to terminate the internet's end-to-end architecture also seem to get even closer to the core of the internet. This sort of access restriction is an experiment with key functions of the internet, increasing the risk of fragmentation of the global internet. And, as one co-chair of the DNS Working Group of the European Regional Internet Registry stated, this gives restrictive tools to the bad guys. The European Regional Internet Registry is one of five regional internet registries providing internet resource allocations, registration services, and coordination activities that support the operation of the internet globally. Another attempt to govern the internet is, for instance, the latest international law enforcement action by the FBI against a large botnet. During this action, the FBI, without a court order or without a legal basis, took over the address blocks used by the botnet's name servers and then assigned those address blocks to the Internet System Consortium's name servers. The European Regional Internet Registry was rather concerned about the implications of getting involved in policy and governance issues and has now sued the Public Prosecutor's Office to get a judicial decision on the question whether they had sufficient legal ground to order the temporary lock of registrations. The implications of the European Regional Internet Registry having to respond to such orders, particularly due to the very wide geographic coverage of its activities, would be very severe indeed. The following article by Monica Ehrmert for the Intellectual Property Watch expresses deep concern about the impact of filtering and blocking on the core of the internet. With protests against draft US legislation like the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect IP Act ongoing, and the European Parliament voting on 17th November 2001 for a resolution to request that United States should be refraining from unilateral measures to revoke IP addresses or domain names, politicians are talking a lot about technology for the internet domain name system. But at the same time, engineers are getting more political and are intensively discussing technology, providing the tools for blocking by governments and private parties. For the community that cares for the functioning of the domain name system, DNS, it came as a shock when Paul Vixey, founder of the Internet Software Consortium, said that BIND software would allow the filtering out of the sites with a bad reputation, like listed malware sites, and also the rewriting of DNS answers, manipulating what people get to see when asking for domain names. Vixey is a guru of the DNS, and one of the authors of the letter by well-known experts against DNS blocking in the Protect IP Act. But he is perhaps best known for being the father of Bind, which has for a decade been the open source tool which makes the DNS work. Jim Reed, one of the chairs of the DNS working group at the Réseau IP Européen, said that during a recent debate about principles that he was rather saddened at ISC's decision to allow the rewriting. "We're giving the bad guys tools," Reed warned. The rewriting, which sends back a lie upon a request to the DNS from someone looking for a website, also sends a rather nasty message saying it's okay to do this kind of thing. What is worse from the engineer's standpoint with the rewriting is that it breaks new measures to secure the DNS because the lies are detected and dropped without users knowing what happened. The lying is currently happening for domains seized by the US Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, some of them legal in their country of origin, like the Spanish RojaDireta.com, a case discussed intensively by the experts. When typing RojaDireta.com, users do not get to that site, but to a warning blocking site by the ICE. It is this kind of case that has stirred up debate in the European Parliament, pushed by the European Digital Right Initiative. Joe McNamee, who fought for the Directoration, now officially included in the Parliament's resolution on the European Union-US Summit of 28 November 2011, said that, "By this you render a site and the data inaccessible without having any court order in the site owner's country." Under the topic, Freedom and Security, the European Parliament resolution stresses the need to protect the integrity of the global internet and freedom of communication by refraining from unilateral measures to revoke IP addresses or domain names. The Piracy Act, McNamee warned, would be so broad that it could be interpreted in a way that would mean that no online resource in the global internet would be outside US jurisdiction. Of those who preferred users with domain names, with the so-called DNS registrars, closer to the user and the user's jurisdictions, it is the registry companies who manage the central database for zones like .com, for example, who are an easy target when it comes to takedowns. They keep the record of who every .com domain name is delegated to and inform those looking for a site where to go, so they can, from a top spot in the DNS hierarchy, point to a wrong location. What makes things difficult is that many large registries, like VeriSign, registry for .com and .net, which changed the RojaDireta.com record, are located in the United States, and while offering services globally in name, they are in fact bound by US law. VeriSign recently tried to get a new registry policy acknowledged by the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, the DNS technical oversight body, which would have allowed the .com and .net registry, VeriSign, to comply with any applicable court orders, laws, government rules or requirements, requests of law enforcement, or other governmental or quasi-governmental agency, or any dispute resolution process. After a first wave of protests, the company backed off and withdrew the test for the time being. Matt Pansett from Afilias, the Registry for Info, and some other TLDs, explained the dilemma. While the registries certainly like people to see the correct DNS answers that they send, there are cases where even we participate in things like that, particularly domain takedown. Many takedowns were made when it was found out that a particular domain is being used in a way that violates acceptable use. Registry operators and software providers underline that the fight against malware mainly drives their interventions. Bind's filtering function will help the manager of a local domain to protect his network. Customers are pushing, for example, for options like rewriting, said Juan Damas, a developer at the Internet Software Consortium. The rewriting not only allows the ICE to lead people to their website instead of RojaDireta's, it also allows commercial companies to attract traffic to their search engine with recommendations and paid ads. Some big telecommunications providers, for example, lure users to their search site every time they mistype a domain name or simply look for something that does not exist. If we do not offer functionalities like the rewriting in our Bind software, we will drive them away from Bind, said Damas. Bind's new reputation policy zone function allows people to have names checked against lists of alleged bad actors, known as spammers or malware distributors, and in case of a match, do not display the respective sites. But what about the governance of increased private manipulation and also filtering that is enabled by better tools, asked Peter Koch, a DNS expert at Denich, the registry for the .de country TLD code of Germany. When we talk about a near real-time facility that would enable certain groups to influence resolvers to block or rewrite resolution data, Koch warned, collateral damage and even liability issues could arise. The more sceptical engineers also warn that such interventions could make the deployment of secure DNS on the last mile to the user very difficult. As they, including Vixi, have worked for a decade to implement this kind of security, they oppose it from an architectural standpoint. Civil liberty advocates like McNamee or Wendy Seltzer, co-founder of the project Chilling Effects, point to the difficulties for victims of the varieties of filtering possibilities to push back. Why can a US Digital Millennium Copyright Act request from a private party lead to Google even filtering a part of the Rio Doja website included in the Spanish version and housed under .es, the country code of Spain, has actually happened. Today, the biggest problem is there's too many things happening not based on legislation, said Patrick Fallström, chair of Security and Stability Advisory Committee of the ICANN. Fallström belongs to the engineers, hoping that fixing the political code might be the first necessary step to solve the problems. Only then would the next step be addressed, Fallström said, in addressing conflicting national legislations. A mega-sized example is coming with regard to this problem, the introduction of new TLDs as approved by ICANN. Could ICANN approve a domain name that is illegal in one's jurisdiction? Asked Fallström. Several jurisdictions have announced they would otherwise block complete TLDs, with new top-level domains like .gay being only one example, not being welcome everywhere in the world. Or should controversial new address zones be blocked at the outset by ICANN? If the registries are close to the core, the root zone that lists existing TLDs like .com, .net, .ch, and future ones could be seen as one core spot of the global internet. With the new contract for the managing of this root function, the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, IANA contract, the US administration seems to have put itself in a difficult spot. The contract has been performed by the ICANN so far, and the US National Telecommunications and Information Administration, known as NTIA, oversees the work. The difficult spot for NTIA is that they will for every new TDL check if ICANN's procedure for approving a new TLD has been supportive of the global public interest. What will the US do about potential knocks at their door from those who do not like having a .gay or a .sex? It will be a difficult filtering function close to the core. Previously, US Assistant Secretary for Commerce, Larry Strickling, had said on May 5, 2011, in a speech at the GigaNet conference in Washington, D.C., that the Obama administration expects all issues to be resolved before the Internet is opened to a large number of new top-level domains. And he hinted that the US might reconsider the special role of the Internet Coordination Body if it does not comply. Strickling is head of the National Telecommunication and Information Administration, which handles the US government relationship with the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. In his speech, Strickling said that while the administration could not tell ICANN to halt its decision to introduce new top-level domains, it expects ICANN to solve all open issues put forward by governments. ICANN had announced it would approve the final applicant guidebook for introducing new TLDs like .nyc, .hotel or .music last June 20th at its meeting in Singapore. Strickling said there remain open issues with regard to objection procedures, law enforcement, and consumer protection issues. In a hearing of the US House Subcommittee on Intellectual Property, Competition and the Internet on 4th May, congressmen supported the complaints of IP rights holders and asked for a delay on the introduction of new TLDs. Strickling also said his agency is seriously considering using the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, the entity administrating the domain name system Root Zone, currently managed by ICANN under a contract with the US government, to push for accountability and transparency of ICANN. To some, this might be considered as a threat. For ICANN, this could mean losing core functions, such as DNS root zone management, including the TLDs and CCTLDs, country code top-level domains like .uk, internet protocol addresses, allocation management on the global level, or protocol assignment. On November 15, 2011, a collection of international civil society and human rights organizations sent a letter to the House Judiciary Committee Chairman Representative Lanmar Smith, Republican Texas, and Ranking Member Republican John Conyers, Jr., Democrat Michigan. The groups called into question several provisions of the Stop Online Piracy Act that would have serious implications for international civil and human rights and the integrity of the global Internet. In their letter they said, "As press freedom and human rights advocates, we write to express our deep concern with H.R. 3261, the Stop Online Piracy Act. While this is a domestic bill, there are several provisions within the Act that would have serious implications for international civil and human rights, which raise concerns about how the United States is approaching global internet governance. The United States has long been a strong advocate for the protection and promotion of an open internet. However, by institutionalizing the use of internet censorship tools to enforce domestic law in the United States, the Piracy Act creates a paradox that undermines its moral authority to criticize repressive regimes. We urge the United States to uphold its proclaimed responsibility as a leader in internet freedom and reject bills that will censor or fragment the web. Through the Piracy Act, the United States is attempting to dominate a shared global resource. Building a national firewall and creating barriers for international website and service operators makes a powerful statement that the United States is not interested in participating in a global information infrastructure. Instead, the United States would be creating the very barriers that restrict the free flow of information that it has vigorously challenged abroad. By imposing technical changes to the open internet, while eroding due process, the Piracy Act introduces a deeply concerning degree of legal uncertainty into the internet economy, particularly for businesses and users internationally. Business cannot be conducted online when international users and businesses do not have faith with their access to payments, domain names, and advertising will be available, raising challenges to the economic development and innovation. This is as unacceptable to the international community as it would be if a foreign country were to impose similar measures on the United States. The provisions in the Piracy Act on DNS filtering, in particular, will have severe consequences worldwide. In China, DNS filtering contributes to the Great Firewall that prevents citizens from accessing websites or services that have been censored by the Chinese government. By instituting this practice in the United States, the Piracy Act sends an unequivocal message to other nations that it is acceptable to censor speech on the global internet. Additionally, internet engineers have argued in response to the Protect IP Act, DNS filtering would break the internet into separate regional networks. Worse still, the circumvention technology that can be used to access information under repressive internet regimes would be outlawed under the Piracy Act, the very same technology whose development is funded by the State Department. The Piracy Act puts the interest of right holders ahead of the rights of society. The Piracy Act would require that web services, in order to avoid complaints and lawsuits, take deliberate actions to prevent the possibility of infringement from taking place on their site, pressurizing private companies to monitor the actions of innocent users. Not only will this effectively negate the safe harbor protection provided in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, but the proposed legislation would disproportionately affect small online communities who lack the capacity to represent their users in legal battles. Wrongly accused websites would suffer immediate losses as payment systems and ad networks would be required to comply with the demand to block or cease doing business with the site pending receipt of a legal counter notice. Even then, it would still be at the discretion of these entities to reinstate service to the website, regardless of the merits of an alleged right holder's claim, robbing online companies of a stable business environment, and creating a climate where free speech is subject to the whims of private actors. Censoring the internet is the wrong approach to protecting any sectorial interest in business. By adopting the Piracy Act, the United States would lose its position as a global leader in supporting a free and open internet for public good. The international civil and human rights community urges Congress to reject the Stop Online Piracy Act. This information has been provided by the European Digital Rights, Intellectual Property Watch and Access. For further information on state of exception and human rights, as well as on civil liberties and the right to privacy, you may visit Equipo Niscor and Radio Niscor's related webpages. This programme has been produced by Radio Niscor at our studios in Belgium on December 20th, 2011.